You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Richard Pope with my wife, Pastor Lucy Pope, from the Word of Truth International Ministries Incorporated. We're so grateful that you decided to join us today, and we know the Lord has a blessing just for you. Greetings. We greet you in the matchless and the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And it's just a blessing to be here this morning. We just thank God for another day. Oh, it's amazing that God is moving in the midst of everything that's going on, all the turmoil and wars and rumors of wars and famine and pestilence and violence and earthquakes in diverse places. And there's a lot going on right now, but God is still in control. He sees everything. There's nothing catching him off guard. And I feel like there's a shaking going on to draw us closer to him because time is winding up and the handwriting is on the wall. So we have to get ready and stay ready so we don't have to try to get ready when that time comes, because we don't know the hour, nor the day, the minute, the second when Jesus will crack the sky open. But I can tell you this, that it's getting close. It's getting real close, and we have to dig down and hunker down in our faith and let our anchors be rooted and grounded in Jesus, in his word, in prayer for all the nations and our nation and just everything that's going on and everything around us. God is mindful of all the souls. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all would come to a repentance and come to an understanding and a knowledge of him and receive him as their Lord and Savior, because he paid the ultimate price. He laid down his life for the world, for everybody, not just those that believe, not just those that were saved, but for everybody, so whosoever will, that they would come back into the fold, they would come back into the kingdom, they would come back into the body of Christ, back into the family, because it's a family, and we are all one in Christ. And we have to tell them, because a lot of folk are leaving here, and they don't know. And they've heard and they've rejected. Ain't nothing we can do about that. But we have to make sure that this gospel is preached and the word is going everywhere, that everyone will have an opportunity to receive Jesus. Because at the end of the day, it's all about the souls. It's all about the souls. We have to reach them. We have to reach them. We have to at least give them an opportunity. And that's when the end is going to come, when the gospel has reached every corner, every nook, every cranny of the globe, and the end shall come. But it ain't going to come to everyone has had an opportunity, and we need to help make that happen. So souls are being saved in the body. They're being saved into the family. They're not spending eternity absent from Christ. And that's what it is. It's pure torment. I know that we catch it right here on earth. So I can't imagine, you know, leaving, transitioning, and then spending eternity without him in a place called hell, because it's real. And no matter what they tell you, it's real. So let us go before the throne. Most gracious and eternal Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you, Jesus, for another day's journey. We thank you that you've allowed our eyes to be open on this morning. And if our eyes were not open, that you gave us ears that we can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, to your body, to your bride. Lord, we just thank you right now for life, health, and strength. We thank you that the blood is yet warm in our veins and there's food on our table and in our cupboards. Lord, we pray for those that are less fortunate. Lord, make a way for them. Oh, Father, we just thank you right now for the roof that was over our head and the cloth that we covered up with last night was not our winding sheet. And the bed we laid on was not our cooling board. But you allowed us to get up this morning when you touched us. And it was only your love that woke us up this morning. Your grace and your mercy, fresh like the morning dew. We just thank you. We thank you this morning for another opportunity to get it right. Another opportunity to share your word, to break the bread of life, that someone might come saying, I yield. I can't hold out any longer. I surrender all to him because he paid it all for me. Lord, we just thank you right now for blessing and touching and giving peace to the bereaved families. Lord God, all over the globe, give them peace and comfort, Lord God, knowing that you're not a God that you make any mistakes. Lord, and if they died in you, Christ Jesus, they are present with you to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Their spirit is already with you if they died in Christ. Lord, we just thank you right now for this word that you've given us to spread. Lord, just have your way. We take authority right now in the name of Jesus because you've given us authority in that name and you've given us power through your Holy Spirit dwelling in us to take power over the power of the enemy. You've given us that, Lord God, and we take authority right now over these airwaves, Lord God, that your word will fall on the fertile soils of the hearts of your people, germinate, come to life, and bear much fruit. We thank you right now that it will do what you've sent it out to do. It won't return void. We thank you for all that are under the sound of my voice right now, Lord. Give them ears to hear. Father God, we thank you that they will believe with the heart and they will confess with their mouth that you are Lord and that you were raised and they will be saved. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the owners of this radio station, Lord God, the men and women of God who make this happen, the technicians, all them that come through praying and preaching and teaching and ministering and prophesying, Lord God, teaching. Continue to anoint them, Father. Give them provision for the vision. Lord, give them everything they need to stand in these last and evil days. Oh, Lord, undergird them. Undergird them with your strength, with your power, your Holy Spirit, that your will be done. We thank you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And this morning we're looking at Ephesians 3. And we're still in this faith mode because this is what we're going to have in the time we're living in. We're not going to be able to stand with some of the stuff that's coming if we don't have faith. And the Bible says that when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? And it's going to take faith because there's some stuff coming. We haven't seen anything yet, but we must be rooted and grounded in his word, in his love, and in faith. We got to stand on it. And no matter what's going on around us, we got to know that we know that we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. And we're going to fight. We're going to fight till Jesus come. And we got an adversary. Huh? Yeah, we got an adversary. We got an enemy to fight. But we have an advocate. His name is Jesus. He's a mediator, and he's standing in the gap for us. He's making intercession for us right now, and we thank God for Jesus, and we thank Jesus for the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 3, I'm going to read 11 through 13, and this is the King James Version. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Amen. Amen. And here, this is the Apostle Paul. Now, he's on house arrest in Rome. And rather than viewing himself as a prisoner of Rome, Paul identifies as a prisoner of Christ, starting out in this chapter. And this is an epistle, and it's sometimes called a pastoral epistle. But the Apostle Paul is writing this from house arrest. And it's just saying that this reflects his conviction that his circumstances were under divine sovereignty and not the whims of Roman government. So in other words, it was already preordained that Paul had to go to Rome, that he was going to suffer, that he was going to be imprisoned. And he had to do it because the gospel has to go everywhere. The gospel has to be preached. And we're going to go through some stuff to preach this gospel. And we're going to go through some stuff to share our faith with others. And even as we're standing in the gap as intercessors and praying for people and lifting folk up and just encouraging them, the enemy's going to be attacking us, because if we're standing on our post, if we are the watchman on the wall, then we're gonna go through something, because we're soldiers. And the enemy is only attacking those that are a threat. So if you're not being attacked and you call yourself a soldier, you call yourself an ambassador of Christ, you might want to check yourself, because the enemy is only attacking those that are a threat to his kingdom. And he has a kingdom of darkness. And he's always coming against the kingdom of light and the kingdom of God. So we're going to have to fight, and we're going to go through something. It's going to be some rough times. It's going to be some rough times, because it is what it is. But God is still in control. And this is according to the eternal purpose of God. And that eternal purpose, the apostle emphasizes that the inclusion of Gentiles into the family of God was not an afterthought or a backup plan. It was part of God's decree from eternity past. It was already etched in stone, just like our salvation, the plan that he had for us to reconcile us back into the family of God. Jesus was that lamb that was slain before the foundation. So God already knew that Adam was going to drop the ball. He already knew that there was going to be disobedience. And so he already had a ram. He already had a ram in the thicket. Come here, Abraham and Isaac. He already had a ram in the thicket. So therefore, God already knew how he was going to bring this thing together. And so the Jews were stuck on the law. And the law was not bad. The law was leading, pointing us to Christ. It was pointing us to Christ. It was pointing us to grace and salvation. And Jesus came and fulfilled the law. But a lot of the Jews were still stuck in that. And they was wanting to go through all these rituals and all this religion for folk to come into the body of Christ, to come into the family of God. And the apostle is telling them, look, God is already, this is part of God's eternal plan, that whosoever will, no matter who you are, huh? Jews, Gentiles, huh? It don't make no difference. Rome, Greek, whatever, male, female, it don't matter your ethnicity. It don't matter your nationality. Whosoever will receive him as their Lord and Savior shall be saved. And this is what he's telling. It was part of God's eternal plan. This plan was not merely an abstract idea. It was actively accomplished and brought to fulfillment through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus was the propitiation for us. He stood in our stead. He took our place. He took on all of our sins, past, present, and future. We couldn't pay the penalty, but his blood was pure. His blood was shed. He was 100% God and 100% man, and he come in the flesh. The Word came and dwelt among us. The Word, Jesus is the Word. He came in flesh so he would be able to identify with our infirmities, what we go through, and to be able to lay his life down for us to pay the price and give us back dominion in the earth realm. Give us back what we lost, because we had dominion over all the earth and the sea and the fowls of the air. But we lost it. We turned it over to Satan in the garden. But Jesus came that we might get it back, huh? That we might get that back. In his name, we have the authority. And with his Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us, we have the power to do it. Because we can't do it in this flesh. There's no good thing dwelling in this flesh. Huh? And this earth suit is only for this earthly assignment. It can't inherit the kingdom of God. It can't go no further than this right here. So that therefore, when we pass, this right here goes back to the earth. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Because it's no longer needed. Because we will have a glorified body. Because we are already in the realm of the Spirit, seated with Christ in heavenly places. When we are born again believers, when we have received him as our Lord and Savior. But you must be, you have to be born again. And that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. You must be born again. You have to receive him as your Lord and Savior. You got to be born again of the Spirit. Of the Spirit from above. And so this is what the apostle is letting the church at Ephesus know. That in Christ, God's eternal purpose was fulfilled. And it's in whom we have boldness in Jesus Christ, in the finished work on the cross, because what he did, the veil was rent. The veil was rent from the top to the bottom in the temple when Jesus gave up the ghost. When he said it is finished, it was rent. That was those that were born again believers that got up out of the graves when he was risen and was walking around, and many people seen him. That's the power, the resurrection power, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of these earth suits to give us the power to do what we need to do in this earth realm. And that's to upbuild his kingdom, to lead as many souls to Jesus, to point them back to Christ, not to our platforms, not to no man or woman, but to Christ Jesus. The only one that can save, the only one that shed his blood, that blood that will never lose its power, that blood that's still crying out right now from Calvary's cross. That blood, that his arms were stretched wide, that he loved us so much, that when he was lifted up, he's still drawing right now. He's drawing right now. He said if he be lifted up, he's going to do the drawing. And he's drawing right now. But because of the finished work of Christ, because of what Jesus did, and that blood, and them 39 stripes on his back, they whipped him beyond measure. He didn't even look like a man. Most men would have died right there in the process. But Jesus went through it for us. And I feel like those 39 stripes covers every division of dis-ease and what they call disease. So with his stripes, according to Isaiah 53 and 5, we are already healed. We are already healed because he's already paid the price. He already took the punishment for our peace. He took it upon himself. So no matter what you're going through this morning, just stand on the word. Because Jesus already covered it. He's already paid it. But you must be born again. You must be in him to reap the benefits, to reap that inheritance. You must be to be heirs to the kingdom, to be joint heirs with Christ. You must be born again, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We can come boldly. We can come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy now, because we don't need a man, a priest, to go for us. We can go for ourselves because the veil was rent. I'm not talking about no little something, but the priest used to go in for the people to make atonement. But now we can go anytime. Jesus is never busy. You don't have to leave a message, a voicemail. Jesus is always available. The Father, you can come to the Father in the name of Jesus. You can come in the name of Jesus. And he will be there for you. And we can come boldly, huh? Bold. We have access with confidence. That's our faith in him and what he's already done. Because I have faith in him, I believe him. I receive him as my Lord and Savior. And I'm past believing because I know. I know that I'm saved. I know that I belong to him. I know. You got to know. You can't be on the fence. You got to know that you know that you know. If you close your eyes right now, you will spend eternity with him. So we have to graduate in maturation, our spiritual maturity, to knowing in our faith. We have to go from faith to faith, to grace to grace. We have to level up. We have to keep growing in him, because we will never know it all. We are always forever students of the word, of the gospel, of the knowledge of him, the wisdom of him, the understanding of him. We're steady growing. We won't never know it all until we see him face to face. And then we can ask him what we don't know and what we don't understand. But we can ask for wisdom and for the Holy Spirit to teach us all things, to give us, bring to our remembrance everything that God has said in his word, and to be able to understand. And the Holy Spirit will help us interpret the word, what the word is saying, because scripture is the best interpreter of scripture. So, and Jesus is the scripture. So the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So it's who Jesus is. It's his testimony. That's what prophecy is. It's prophesying. It's talking about him. It's speaking of him. It's speaking what he is saying. And so this is Jesus, the word, the word. We have to get deep and rooted in the word if we're going to have a relationship with Jesus. That's the only way we're going to know who he is. So we have to come boldly and don't be cowering in what we see going on around us. We have to stand firm on our faith, and having done all, we're going to stand, because we know whose we are. So we know who we are. And when we know who we are and whose we are, we can stand in our full identity, our kingdom identity, knowing that we are his ambassadors. And he's given us authority in his name. And he's given us power through this Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us, and we have the authority to take charge over the systems of this world and the attacks of the enemy. We can take authority because he's given us that power over all the power of the enemy when we're in him, when we're born again. We can exercise that authority and that dominion that he's given us. And we won't be trampled under the foot of the enemy. And the enemy won't be beating us up, because we can stand firm on our faith and decree and declare and legislate and shut it down just like that. And that's why the enemy's always attacking our identity. He even attacked Jesus' identity in the wilderness. He attacked his identity. If you be the Son of Man, if you be the Son of God, if you, Jesus already knew who he was, so he just told him, it is written. I'm not finna go around the mulberry bush with you about this. Yeah, I know who I am. And see, that's why he's always attacking our identity. But when we know who we are, he has nothing. He don't have nothing in us. When we know whose we are, we know who we are, and we can stand in that dominion and authority. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. And the apostle is saying, don't faint at what I'm going through, because I'm going through it for you. Because I'm preaching the gospel, because I'm teaching you in the things of God and what Christ has already done, and helping you build the relationship, giving you the knowledge and the word, the gospel. This is why I'm going through, because I'm standing on my post. I'm where I'm supposed to be at. I'm a watchman on the wall, and I'm being attacked. I'm going through for your sake. Just like Christ died for us. He took on our punishment. He took on our sin. He paid our sin debt. He redeemed us. This is what the apostle is saying. The apostle said, I'm going through because for y'all. And I don't mind going through. So we see the plan. God's redemptive work is eternal and centered on Christ. We see the privilege. Believers have direct, confident access to God through faith. And we see the perspective. Suffering for the sake of the gospel is a badge of honor and not a sign of failure. Just because you're going through, just because you're suffering, it don't mean that you've done something wrong. It's a badge of honor. And you have not failed. You right in the vein of God's divine will. You're doing exactly what he told you to do, but it ain't going to be easy. So you got to suffer well. So until next time, praying for you. I love you. Keep the faith. Amen and amen. We pray that the word of truth has touched your heart and mind today. There may be someone under the sound of my voice that has not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, you know the life I've lived. Forgive me for my sins. I believe you died for my sins and was raised up on the third day. Thank you for saving me. Heaven rejoices over one that comes to repentance and receive Jesus. We encourage you to find a Bible-based church where you can continue to grow in the Word of God. If you would like to sow into this ministry, you can do so by Cash App, and that's $TWOT Ministries. Again, that's $TWOT Ministries, or P.O. Box 8573, Port St. Lucie, Florida 34985. Again, that is P.O. Box 8573, Port St. Lucie, Florida 34985. Until next time, this is Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope. We love you, and we're praying for you. Amen. So I trust the man on time.